We are having an staring contest right now between Nelly Baby and me. Hold that thought.
You're having an staring?
I can never win with you. I can
never. Never.
Anyways, guys, welcome back to one more show, the third episode, segment, Nuestra Sesión of Charlie's Bunker. You know, we were talking about how I always use his music, and I actually have mentioned it before. I just forgot to mention it this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give thanks to the banknotes for letting us use his music in the background. So what you guys are hearing are the banknotes.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. You want to give him a shout out too? Say thank you for letting us use your music?
Thank you for letting El Charlie and Charlie's Bunker let us use your music.
Okay, now you're part of the show. It's like you're the co-host now. So mi casa es su casa.
Okay, but I don't see any co-hosting Nelly Baby on there, so I don't know. I'm going to have to be a little diva, like your Devo self, and ask for a request of adding my little name underneath your little subtitle there that says co-hosting Nelly Baby.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a very valid, good point. I think it's already official. We were talking about it with somebody earlier today and how...
No. I was talking to somebody this morning.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have to do a shout-out because I got stopped in the hallway.
Uh-huh.
I was sitting down minding my merry old way, you know, enjoying a nice cup of Joe. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up and says, hey! I'm like, huh? And he's like, you know what? I'm getting kind of tired of Charlie saying that, you know, I only have one listener that listens for 2 seconds. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, I listened to the whole episode. And I'm like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to beat him up for that because, you know, that's kind of bad for our little fan there. And I'm glad we have one fan.
Okay, now it's official. We have one fan. And it was the same guy who was listening for 2 seconds, and then we won't move up for 4 seconds. But now he said, no, I listened to the entire thing. I like it. And especially when you start playing the, what was it?
Backstreet Boys and Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
And that was my playlist.
Yeah, that was your playlist. Thank you very much. Yes, yes.
Mr. Complaining, oh, I don't want to hear that. But guess who liked it? Our number one fan. So this shout out goes to our number one fan, Mr. Eli. He knows, he listens, and this one's for you, buddy.
Yep, there you go. So we wanted to give that awesome shout out just to give an example that if you come and reach up to us, we are definitely going to mention you on the show, and we're going to play your music. So he did actually send a couple of songs for us to play today, which we are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to the banknotes for letting us use his music. Thank you, and shout out to Eli for listening to our madness. It's interesting. It's interesting.
He's already used to our madness.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to be, you know, serious. You know, usually people that know me, they're like, you know, they're like, he's a stupid one. Okay, fine. I do give you that. Okay, fine. There are moments where I have my moments of stupidity, which is pretty much like 90% of the time. And then, you know, I go into this sort of blackout and I become a little bit smart. And then that's it. It goes away. But I already forgot what I was talking about. You see what I'm talking about?
I was like, where are you going with this?
Where am I? What was I going with that?
I don't know.
Okay, hold on. Let me retract. Okay. I was trying to do this podcast as a, you know, serious moment and a serious matter because there's so many things out there in the world that are just going
berserk.
Yeah. To that toilet. All right. I wasn't accepting it. Yep.
I'm gonna be just a sounds person because, like, seriously, like, you lost your sound machine. Where is it? Like, I'm like, hello.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, you can do some of the work too. Of course. Anyways, so yeah, I wanted to do a little bit more serious, but it didn't work out. Okay, so then
and
we're
then
going
here
back.
Comes Nelly Baby. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, I promise that at the end of this episode, we're gonna be playing one of the songs that Eli requested, but I'm gonna add a little detail, an extra, because we have some bloopers today. Okay, I was doing the test, the sound check, And here Nelly Baby just started going, I don't know, I think she was warming up her vocal cords. I have no idea what she was doing. But I'll play it later. You guys will.
Hey.
What? It
happened. Is this going to be a thing where you make fun of my accident-prone self?
I hit myself,
you know, I land on the floor or I literally hit myself on a wall.
Thank God you land on the floor. Can you land somewhere else?
I mean. I can't answer that though.
Right. I walk into that one.
Yeah. Always do.
Wow. I walk into that one again. All right. So what do we bring today? What are we talking about today? Okay.
Well, one of our mini number one fans, because they're... Hey, she's a teenager now.
Yeah, she's teenager.
She's not an adult. I still consider her mini.
Okay, so obviously we are dividing our number one fans by ages. We're not giving Eli's age away, but, you know, he's almost 60. And now we have a teen who happens to be our number one fan.
So we're not that old.
No, we're not that old. So we can, as you can see, we are within the range of, I guess, coolness.
How do you call it in Spanish? What were we talking about?
Chavorruco.
Or chavorrucos.
Rucos, yeah. So who doesn't speak Spanish, chavorrucos means, chavo means youth, and ruco means old, which I guess the equivalent in English would be...
Like, we never want to grow up.
We're boomers. We're boomers because we're really that old to the young ones, but then we are millennials to the boomers, so therefore now we're in between. So I guess that's the equivalent of chavorruco in English. Mm. We'll be a what? A millennial?
A what?
A millennial? What's boomer and millennials?
Oh, God. Are you trying to make a word?
No, I'm just trying to find the equivalent of that word. That's all. Okay? If it trends, great. I'm not saying, go make a trend. Anyways. If it does,
hashtag.
I already forgot the word. Okay, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that it's recorded because I can go back and just put hashtag whatever
and
it was.
Voice it in.
Yeah, voice it in. But we were having a conversation, right? So this number one teen fan, and she said, so I brought this to different shows and nobody wants to talk about it. So I'm hoping that you will be able to touch the subject. And I said, fine, I will be more than happy to. Because, again, we are looking for material. So there you go. We're desperate. So we're going to take anything. Not in that sense. Topic-wise.
It's like, speak for yourself, sir.
Yeah. I know. You should have seen her face. She's like, whoa, no, I'm not taking that. Anyways. I said, sure. So the idea behind it, and this is what I understood, okay? The idea behind it is the music from our generation, and I'm not talking about 90s, I'm talking about pretty much anything before the 2000s, all right? Mm-hmm. So because we know for a fact that there was a cut right in the 2000s where music just changed, okay? Technology and computers and everything just made music different, okay? Mm-hmm. So she likes all genres of music. Mm-hmm. One of her favorite 70 singers is Janis Joplin, which I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But then we're having a conversation, and I said, listen, if I'm going to bring this to the show, and this is a disclaimer, we know music is depending on what you like, okay? Beauty mm-hmm. is in the eye of the beholder. I'll give you that, okay? So I personally like more rock, heavy metal, and some classical and blues, okay? That's my... number one to go to. If I'm getting drunk, I'll probably listen to some bohemian stuff. I am a big romantic, in case people are doubting it. Yes, I am. Okay. Whenever I go to karaoke, I'll probably sing a love song, you know.
They call you the face.
They call me the face. I don't even want to get into that story. But yes, I like a lot of genres. And, you know, there's other people like Nelly Baby here who we know her playlist last week.
Hey, Eli liked it.
I get it, yes. I particularly, when it came out, I wasn't very happy or as a person or as in anything, pretty much. I was just a grumpy old young teen dash man, I guess. I don't know. But I didn't like that style of music. I just didn't like it. Pop, not my favorite. Okay, I used to despise it. But now that I'm older, I still don't like it. I'll tolerate it.
Well, yeah, you're moving your foot listening to it.
I mean, I move my foot to the Bee Gees Staying Alive. I mean, what's your point? again, we have to see that music in particular, it's first of all what triggers your brain, okay? Because mm-hmm. there has been studies out there that there's certain sounds that producers know that they just trigger. Is that the ghost again?
Yeah.
Is that the ghost? Okay. I guess the ghost wants to be part of the show. But there are some sounds that producers have created that they know for a fact that it triggers certain parts of the brain and you automatically start dancing or moving around, okay? I'm no exception. I hear some songs and I'm like, I mean, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
If we had the video and you wouldn't forget your stand, they could totally see us on YouTube, but you didn't.
Hey. I told you, didn't I not recall telling you, can you please remind me to put the stand in my damn book bag?
And I did remind you.
Because you know I'm forgetful now.
And I did remind you.
I'm younger than you, but I'm having little senior moments.
I did remind you. You said you're older than me, but you're having senior moments?
I said I'm younger than you.
I didn't hear that. Anyway,
I'm going to make sure I spill that coffee again on you.
No. And by the way, you didn't put any cream, any sugar.
Yes, I did. No, I didn't put sugar because I had to go get it.
I don't know who that was.
Commercial break.
All right. So, sorry about that. I am not going to edit this. I'm just going to send it out like that. So, so we know that there's some music that, again, to each his own. But I do believe that the music before, 70s, mm-hmm. 80s, and 90s, have been the best. 2000s, not so much. What do you think?
Well, you figure, 70s, what was going on? Peace, love, and harmony.
Okay, let me retract that. 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Okay. Well, still, okay. Wars were going on.
Let me retract that. 1880, 1890, and then there's a big blur between 1900s to 1960s, and then so on and so forth.
Are you going to be a smartass for the whole episode?
Am I not a smartass every day of my life?
Yeah.
There you go.
But you want to remember, I'm your only friend.
Okay, continue with your comment.
So, 60s, 70s, 80s. Those songs had a meaning to it. You know, what was going on? Wars, 60s, 70s, okay? 80s, you had AIDS coming out. You know, we still wanted love, man.
Wait, hold on. You just said, ladies, there was AIDS coming out?
80s, Jesus, where's your mind,
I'm
sir?
Sorry. I just needed to clarify for whoever heard that. I'm sorry. Continue.
So 80s, what do we had? We had AIDS now coming up. Can you stop and let me speak? Because you're like literally like cutting me out. I'm about to walk away, sir. And out.
That was the sound effect for her walking out. Just in case you were
since
wondering.
Since I want to be dramatic and all.
She wants to be dramatic, I guess. Boy, continue.
And then 90s and late 80s, who do we have? Madonna and pop coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the 80s was a really, let me go back to the 60s. The 60s was, I think, a great year. Obviously, bands like the Beatles, mm-hmm. the Rolling Stones.
The best.
James Brown.
Oh, yeah.
With the funky. Yeah. So, yeah, that was an amazing decade. Again. They're not seeing me, so they don't know what you're talking about.
I am, though.
Yeah. I'm going to do it again. Anyways. So they're great bands. And obviously, there's many, many more that we're not going to be able to mention all of them. But those are the main heavy ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, during the times, at that moment, in that decade, with the civil movement and Vietnam and all those changing experiences. Because after the 60s, humanity just went into this, sharp turn.
Toilet bowl.
I wouldn't say toilet bowl. I mean, there were some really good things about the 60s, okay? Again, we're not going to get political. We're just going to say about music. But they were talking about revolution. They were talking about, you know, a message of equality and justice, yes, and all that stuff, right? And then you have the Beatles talking about, you know, smoking crack with an octopus under the sea.
That was a submarine song.
No. They also... Yeah, Ringo only made two songs. One was about he wanted to be a cowboy, or he wants to be in the movies as a cowboy, and then the other one is An Octopus Under the Sea.
Okay, we're not including Ringo's singles here.
Hey, man, he only had two.
We're including the Beatles.
We're including
the Beatles.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Since we're going to go there.
Don't talk smack about my Beatles.
Okay, we're going to go there. Okay. All right. So, yes, you have George Harrison, mm-hmm. amazing guitarist. You had, you know, Paul McCartney and mm-hmm. John Lennon. Great. You know, Something in the Way You Move, Yesterday, yes. Blackbird. Yes. We know that the repertoire of the Beatles, it's amazing because of them three. But then Ringo had two. Give him his two. That's
it's Ringo,
all.
Ringo.
It's Ringo.
You said Ringo.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about, you know, the 1846 when Mexico lost to the United States and the word came out. Because back in the day, you know, I'm not starting that.
So you're going to start your podcast?
Yes, again? I am. Shut up, man.
We just lost your number one fan.
No. He likes it. Anyways, so then obviously the Rolling Stones came out and they had this awesome, you know, exposure to blues because of, you know, our African-American community, mm-hmm. that they are amazing in that genre. And so they got that concept. And yeah, music just became an amazing
evolved
into mm-hmm. this wonderful, right, experience in the 60s. Then the 70s came around and disco hit, which was a pop. Yeah. Yeah, now disco, you know, the Bee Gees and...
Staying alive.
Are we really going to do this to them?
Yeah,
no,
we're not. I have not gone
to... No, you can't tell by the way I move my arms. No time to talk. Okay, no, we're not going to do this anymore. I'm
karaoke.
Sorry. All right. Anyways, so then obviously heavy metal started coming around, which is more, you know, rock, but a little heavier concept because Black Sabbath
was in the 70s. Ozzy.
Yes, right. So then you go into the 80s and you have hip hop, the evolution of hip hop, and heavy metal gets a little heavier.
And then, you know.
That's right. That's right. You know, the Bronx and, you know, coming up with hip hop and all that stuff.
Cool J. Mm.
You need a minute there?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So I'm going to take over for a little bit. Give her about 5 minutes. She'll come back. Anyways, so, hip hop comes around. Heavy metal with Metallica, Megadeth, Iron Man, all those great bands. Not to mention the fact that going back to the 70s, you had Led Zeppelin, you had AC/DC, you have tons of bands that are great. That's only in the United States, England kind of way. But then also in Latin America, you had an exposure of rock and roll that was coming up, and it was more about revolution as well and changing in democracy and all that stuff, right? So then we get into the 90s, and now obviously all those things are kind of fading away, in quotes. Again, in quotes. And now we have the grunge era, right?
Yes.
The rebellious kids, Nirvana, Pearl Jam. That's in the, you know, beginning 90s. Then you have in hip-hop,
Garbage.
You had Tupac, Garbage. You had Alice in Chains, and then I still believe that Pearl Jam was a little bit better than Nirvana. In my perspective, you can take it or leave it. I don't mind. But, again, you had that exposure. And then you have the mid-90s with Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm. Christina Aguilera.
As you can see, my excitement just went down because, again, I, you know, not very fond of them. But I'll give you that. They had talent. They could sing.
Was the start of the band, the boy bands.
Some argue that the Beatles were the start of the boy bands.
Well, yeah, them too. But for the late 90s to 2000s, they blew up.
Yeah. So then you go into the 90s, more techno, more, less message in the lyrics, in my perspective. You had more exposure because now you have SoundCloud. But the question here is, just to give you that was just the background, okay? The question here is this. Do you really believe that music right now, compared to that before, has gone down instead of getting better? Because, I mean, in the times that we're in, in the progression of times, mm-hmm. it should be getting better. But there's this Hispanic producer who does a show on his YouTube channel. His name is Chumbo. Mm-hmm. And he gave a very good explanation, and he said that the best decade in music was the 90s.
I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
Why?
You had a change of, like you said, a variety of music. You had Nirvana, you had Spice Girls, you had Ricky Martin, you had Lauryn Hill coming out, okay? And different, Sinead O'Connor, you name them. But it was different styles, each person having their own style of music, their own language, their own message to display.
All right, so we're going to leave it at that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go on a break, listen to some music.
Okay.
okay? And then we come back and we continue because it's going to be a two-part segment. You agree? What? You agree?
Sure.
Right on. So let's get to some music.
Hey, hey.
And we'll be back after this. And we're back.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. What are you doing checking on your phone? Are you at work?
Where I am. 2000 Music.
Oh, wow. She's doing research as we speak.
Yes, sir.
Nah, that's so nice. I mean, that's good because I didn't do any research for this. It's all in my mind.
Well, I am kind of suffering from an allergic reaction, so I'm not really thinking right now. I'm kind of hallucinating.
Oh. Don't believe her. It's the Coke.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. No, no, she doesn't do coke. We don't promote drugs here.
No, to de las drogas.
No a las drogas. Dile no a las drogas.
Diles no a las drogas.
Cocaína.
Dodgers.
Sorry. Sometimes we switch back and forth.
Back in the day when, you know, you're a small kid looking at telenovelas with your mother, and then all of a sudden you come up with the garbage-ass telenovelas you've ever watched in your life. And those two scenes were epic, and it just stayed in your life.
If you're Hispanic, you know what we're talking about. So anyways, we were back, second part of the segment of music. Anyways, I think you're right. It was actually, that's one of the things I missed about the music nowadays, mm-hmm. is that, like I mentioned before, they don't have a message. On the pop culture music, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. The beats have gotten a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay, beats. No, that's not true, because if you compare it to Tupac's or Biggie or even Snoop Dogg when he started,
mm-hmm.
they were good.
They were good.
I was trying.
You're trying to give your urban Ivonics.
That's right. Didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like SoundCloud, even though it's a great app, SoundCloud has kind of brought down the what we expect of music. There's some rappers that came out from SoundCloud, and I saw a documentary on Netflix regarding the industry of how they brought up all this you know, new rappers. And even mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg himself said, listen, you know, these new rappers are going...
gibberish.
I'm not going to say gibberish
because, you know, they're going to, you know, unfollow me, but I'm just saying.
My English is not very good looking. So to me, it's like, oh, man, that's some pretty good Irish, you know, rapping they're doing. I mean, I guess. I don't know. But
like I said before, rappers back in the day told the story about life and, you know, trials and trivials they went through. And here and now, what are they going through? Like I said before, either you're talking about getting some... either using some drugs, using somebody. That's basically today's music.
Yeah, but don't you think that you know, I get it. It's all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right now with YouTube and Spotify and, and you know, any other app that plays music, Pandora, let's not forget Pandora, you can just type in a name and they will play random music, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the artist is good, sometimes the artist is not that good. And again, it's beauty's in the eye of the beholder. We get that. But
to each their own.
Yeah, but sometimes the message, you know, I don't feel like the message nowadays signifies something. And if they do,
yep.
If there are some groups out there that are brand new and they do have a good message, they don't hit as much. What do you think that is?
I guess right now because sex sells.
I mean, sex has always sell.
I know, but I think it's more out there than ever now.
You think?
I think so.
Because, I mean, if I compare, let's say, what's a new rapper right now? Moneybags with Megan Thee Stallion, even though that was the first song that I played for the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
If I compare it to, let's say, Mama from Tupac.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference in lyrics when it comes to worshiping or telling the story of a woman, I mean, Tupac hit it right on the nail, man. I mean, talking about his mother like that and giving you this picture with a beautiful melody in the background is just a classic.
He was a poet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say it publicly, and I'm going to be frank. To me, Biggie was a better rapper than Tupac. Just going to put it out there.
I'm going to have to take care of you later and
yeah. beat you up. So if my body disappears and happens to be on the lake, it's already recorded that she's going to take care of me later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but again, to each his own. I just feel that was the case.
now you're talking about a female part and what you're going to do to it and that it's yours. I'm talking about today's music.
Oh, I was about to say, like, I didn't talk about that. No, that, I didn't say any of that stuff. You see how the cancel nation is going on right now? You're like, oh, no, you're talking about body. No, I didn't say any of that stuff. I didn't say any of that stuff. But you were, go ahead.
You know, I'm not judging it. I am, I'm a bit. I'm for female empowerment because, hey, I'm a female. But sometimes too much is too much. I like Megan Stallion. Don't get me wrong. I like that she speaks for a woman and how women should be powerful and say that we're stronger than men and this and that. But come on, grinding with Cardi B in the Grammys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, I don't want to say that it was a lot because I don't want to sound old. I don't want to be a boomer. But I mean, okay, we're not getting into that right now. We're going to save it for the next one. But
okay. But
musically, I think that Megan Stallion has some pretty good beats. The beats are great.
They're good to work out too. But WAP, not my favorite.
But see, I don't think that Cardi B has neither the music nor the lyrics to back up what she says. I honestly, to me, Cardi B, it's not a great artist to say, right? I get it where she came from, and kudos to her because she made it with her own, you know, effort and whatnot. But if we're going to be real, Snow the Product has better music, better lyrics, and she has more talent. But you don't
but
hear a lot.
But she's not sexualizing herself.
That's right, and that's what I'm saying. So you see how the industry at this point, it's selling more the sex aspect versus the actual talent aspect. And to me, as somebody who actually studied music and plays instruments, I just don't like that because there are so many other aspects of music that can really inspire other people to actually learn the trade of music or, you know, the ability to play an instrument and whatnot versus just selling sex. Now, I'm thinking, what's the message that they're giving our young girls that if you're twerking, that's fine. Again, I'm not saying that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that the music is a powerful weapon to actually motivate or shape someone into doing something that everybody sees socially that it's correct. And that's where I come from. I think Snow the Product has a lot better music.
Yes.
But she doesn't show boobs.
No, she doesn't. She's feminine. She's part of the LGBTQ community. And she's one of the, I guess, not first ever Latina rappers, but predominantly it's run by men, okay? And you don't see a lot of female rappers that are Latina, or shall I say bilingual in the industry.
Now, if you want to talk about somebody who actually made it big in music too, and come on, how we're going to leave him out, all right? There's two awesome singers back in the 80s and early 90s that made it big, even though they had their little messed up, you know, lives. One was Michael Jackson, uh-huh. The whole deal with going from, you know, dark skin to white skin. But come on, that guy could dance. That guy could sing. I mean, his music was amazing. And Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
Now, Freddie Mercury uh-huh. also, you know, being homosexual, he also put their group on top of the charts. And listen, you watch Wayne's World. Yes, I am that old. You watch Wayne's World, and I'll guarantee you will not be able to stop singing Bohemian Rhapsody. So...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. I don't think they have to sell sex to be good artists.
True. And I don't think it's really part of, yes, it's female empowerment, but it to me, it really isn't. I'm like, yes, I get the wanting to have women as in equality with men, but where does that come from? Like back in the 60s, 70s, where women wanted equal pay with men, and women could do it just as well as men. But this is just too much. Like, you're selling a body part, yes. Okay, I get it. And you want to make it popular by saying, okay, we take over men and my female flower is basically going to dominate men. That's not music to me. Yes, it might have a good beat, but it's not really giving that empowerment or the actual positive note for a female.
Yeah, no, and that's true because in the 90s also you had that same fight, you know, in the beginning of the 90s where you wanted that women empowerment and women like, for example, the Four Non Blondes,
mm-hmm.
With the song What's Up, which I'm going to play. I don't care. I think the message there, it was amazing. And listen, you can never go wrong with that song, okay? Mm-hmm. So just the lyrics itself, how they're empowering women, I like it. I think it was great. Also, in the 70s, with Tina Turner coming
up.
Yeah, she was amazing, too.
Yes, but as again, she didn't have nudity for her to show her point of music and her skills in singing.
Now, another thing that I don't like when it comes to the industry, it's the fact that there's some really good singers out there, and mm-hmm. and they don't give them enough credit because they stay in one genre. For example, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga has an amazing voice.
She does.
And the way she could sing in different genres, it's amazing, but she only stays with pop because that's what sells.
Yes.
So I guess the whole fact of if you wanna take music into consideration, it's expand to different genres. For example, Janis Joplin did a great rendition of Bobby McGee, which originally was from somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and I forget the name of the singer, but he even said it like, "Hey, listen, you play that. You made it yours. It's amazing." Yep. And I'll play that one, too, because I if you haven't heard Bobby McGee, I'm sorry. I don't know. I you're missing it. To my point of view, you're missing it. Before we close, anything you want to add? This
like,
part.
Like you said, each person has their taste. And I'm not gonna crush it or, you know, even think that you're wrong.
Crush it.
I'm not. You have your taste in music. I have mine. We could hear it, each their own, you know, enjoy it. Music, what is music here for? Just basically to enjoy it, relax, feel the music, get the meaning of the song. And sometimes they're going to have positive meaning. Sometimes they're going to have negative. But guess what? We're here to enjoy it. Just it zones us out for what the reality of today's life is.
You know what? And that's a good point because I know that on my Spotify playlist, if I'm cleaning my house, I have a playlist that says pa limpiar, to clean. And I'm just like, nothing but salsa, merengue, cumbia, from Mexico City. So, it's listen.
What it's, happened to the rocker dude? I thought you were a rocker dude.
Listen. If you're Mexican from Mexico City, and that's why I clarified, let me scratch my head.
Not from list. Mexico yeah. City.
I am not from Mexico City.
You were raised.
I was not in Mexico. I'm not from Mexico City. I lived in Mexico City. Therefore, I was exposed to the life in Mexico City. So therefore, I have a little bit. That's why we listen to tropical music, which is great. But hey, listen, when I'm feeling all down and lazy to clean, I'm like,
you're listening to cumbia, and I'm over here listening to mariachi.
I know, right?
And banda and.
That's another thing. The stereotype when it comes to the music. Oh, you know what? That's a good point. Because, what you know, me being Mexican, there, you know, people are like, "Oh my God, do you like mariachi?" I can officially say, I do not like mariachis.
Oh my God, I could belt mariachi all day.
I'm sorry, I do not like mariachis. People who are Mexican, they're like, "I'm gonna stab you and I'm gonna take away your Mexican card because you don't like mariachi." But realize that mariachi, it's like, for example, playing blues.
Mm-hmm.
Blues, it's pretty much well known here in Chicago, and they know that blues originated here in Chicago, right? Yeah. And then you have hip hop that generated from the Bronx, right? Yes. It's all about New York.
Mm-hmm.
Mariachis is the same thing. Just happened to be in the state of Jalisco, and it just grew all over the place in Mexico. Now everybody who knows about Mexico, they're like, "Oh, mariachis. Ay, ay, ay." No, we're not.
Like that?
Yeah, like that. But, right? But in my state, in Veracruz, we don't listen to a lot of mariachis. Obviously, we do listen to it because, you know, it's something that it's enjoyable, but not our actual state where our music from that state, it's not ours. So, therefore, I can't say that I like it because if I'm going to play some, what's the name of those little thingies? Saxophone?
Saxophone? No.
You know, the little instrument with the little piece of wood and they're like, click, click, click.
I know which one.
Okay. Well, you guys get it, but that one, it's very, in my home state, Veracruz, we actually play that. So anytime we call it marimba. So anytime you play it, I'm like, yeah, man, you know, anyways. So that the stereotype when it comes to music, it's also a good point when it comes to that. But like she said, if it moves you, it touches your soul, if it hits you in the feels, then it's great. And I don't care what genre or what mm-hmm. what decade you're coming from. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how come you can't say that when I'm listening to my music and you're like, oh, my God, take that off.
Oh, my God, take that off. Put on some Marilyn Manson or something, or put on some rock or something.
Yeah. You say that when mm-hmm. off record. How come you can't say that when we're, you know, listening to my music and you're like, oh, no, leave it. It's cool.
Because I got to bust your chops.
Yeah, I got to bust my chops. All right, guys. So we're going to come. We're going to do three more songs for you guys. And I do want to talk about the Grammys, since we're actually in the subject of music and whatnot.
Oh, Lord, we're going to start that.
No, we'll just wait, okay? So here we go, and we'll be back. And we're back. So, as you guys know, on Sunday, the Grammys were on TV. And honestly, I didn't watch the Grammys because... I just don't like it. I thought they lost credibility a while back. I don't like the industry, how it's going. Like I said before, I think they're only selling to the peoples to get the rating. That's just me. But there are some pretty cool moments on the Grammys that were funny, you know, artists falling or doing some crazy stuff. And, I mean, I've run the risk of losing that, but that's fine. I don't care. But there was this, as everybody knows nowadays, with the internet all over the place, the show or the performance between Megan Thee Stallion and mm-hmm. Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
Explain it. You explain it better than I do, so.
Do I want to talk about it? I saw a bit of it. I really didn't watch it either. Don't mind me. I do like Cardi B. From when she first started, I really did enjoy her music. But this newer one, WAP, not my favorite. And I love Megan Thee Stallion. So basically, what was it? The scene was a bedroom. You had a stripper pole. And you had Cardi B. Because
everybody has a stripper pole in their bedroom. I mean.
Not me.
If you don't. I don't know what to tell
cool.
you.
I'm not cool.
I guess.
But what was it? Basically a bedroom, stripper pole, and then Cardi B coming out, stripping or dancing on the stripper pole, and then leading to a gigantistic bed. Like, I've never seen a bed that big.
That's good.
On stage.
Oh, okay. It's a good thing you put that on stage, because you left a big pause there, and I don't know on where stage. You were going. I was like, wait, is there more time?
then all of a sudden, Megan Stallion comes out twerking, leads to the bedroom, and then has a grinding moment with Cardi B.
Okay, so if you guys are thinking, oh, here we go again. They're gonna start talking about how that's inappropriate, and well, yes. We're not going to talk about that. But it was a little inappropriate. I mean, and not because of the action. It's because mainly it was aired at 8 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock, you know, Central time. And you know the rest. But imagine you're sitting down in your living room, you know, you're watching. And like, oh, my God, the Grammys are on. And you just, you know, you're with the family and the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You just pop it. And the next thing you know, you see this. And you have little ones. So the question is, how do you explain that? How do you explain?
Close your eyes, little one.
No, Jimmy. Please close your eyes, Jimmy.
Close
your eyes. So no, but how do you explain it? I mean, it was so fast.
So funny because you have the younger generation like, oh, here we go. People are gonna say this is too sexualized and how it's demoralizing. And first of all, why are your kids up watching it? If you think it's too sexualized, your kids shouldn't be watching it. Hello, not everybody has a television in their room, okay? My child sure doesn't.
Okay.
So if he's going to want to watch something, guess what he's going to do? He's going to be watching the TV with me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, but I mean, how about you explain it to your little one? No, Jimmy. They're just grinding, ooh. Jimmy. Ooh. What are you doing?
I don't know. I accidentally unfollowed somebody.
Great. Okay. Focus. See? I made her the co-host on the third show and on the third segment, and now she's
and I'm gonna get fired.
And now she's gonna get fired because she's not even paying attention. Jesus. Anyways, so okay. So how do you explain it? How do you explain it?
I don't know. How am I gonna say? I'm. Oh, he's 7 years old. I'm not gonna go into sexualizing or what sex is at the moment. He's not there yet for me to go through.
He's watching it, and he's, they're like, you know, and they're grinding, you know, and then. Your kid
sees what it. I'm doing? I'm going to change it and stop watching the Grammys.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, but you, that doesn't change the fact that you got to explain what they were doing, because now with technology, he's going to go to YouTube or whatever.
Exactly. He's going to go to YouTube.
And he's going to...
And Google it or search it.
And then he's going to watch it because now his mama is canceling this whole thing. So how do you explain it? How would you explain it?
See, when there's an attraction among... Doesn't have to be any form of gender, because I don't want to put a female and a male, because people are going to be saying I'm putting labels. So if when a being or a person or a human being has an attraction to one another, they make love or have sexual intercourse to demonstrate that love.
On national TV.
But not on national TV.
But on national TV, Jimmy, on national TV.
It's okay.
You know, okay, so here's the thing, okay? I didn't see the Grammys. I did search it on YouTube, because again, they're like, oh my God, did you see the show? And I was, no. And she goes, oh, you gotta go search it. And I did. And again, not a big fan of Cardi B. I like Megan Stallion's beats. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then, bam, they start doing it right there on national TV. And luckily for me, my kids are already older, so we already had the talk, and that was great, right? No. The reason why I'm saying this is because of this, okay? So when we had the talk, or like the Gen Z's say it nowadays, the talk, right? I don't know what they call it nowadays. Anyways, I grabbed a book, a health book, that I used for my studies of medical terminology and whatnot. And I said, this is the picture of the male genitalia, all right? And it does this. And on the next picture, you have this genitalia with gonorrhea, all right? So it was a picture of genitalia with pus and everything. And they're like, oh, my God, what the heck am I watching? Up to now, they're like, no, we're not going to touch that. We're not doing this, right? So that was me. That was me being proactive in case they saw any of that stuff,
right?
So
you just scared straight them.
I did. I'm not going to lie. I did, okay? I don't want to be a grandpa at the age of, you know, now.
Sometimes we need that. Trust me.
We need to be grandpas?
No, we need scared straight moments.
I was like, no, I don't want to be a grandpa. So that was how I handled that, okay? So maybe I went a little bit to the extreme. Maybe they're like, I don't want to have a baby anymore. I'm not gonna talk about the subject. But that's what I did. So me being all that crazy and paranoid and going all the way to the extreme, I'm only thinking, how will other people who are not that crazy and extreme will talk to their kids about this? Because again, it's national TV. Mm-hmm. It's at 7 o'clock, and yes, you can say they're not supposed to be watching it, and I get it. But it's supposed to be a family show. Supposed to be a show where everybody can sit down and enjoy the upcoming artist and music.
And love of music.
And yeah, and the next thing you know, it's grinding. But on that note, okay, I remember when I was a kid that my mother, who, again, when I was a kid, I didn't know any English, and we had Nickelodeon, and they used to show Ren and Stimpy. Now the cancel culture nation's going to be canceling Ren and Stimpy.
Who is Ren and Stimpy? Let me Google it.
Which, by the way, if you want to watch Ren and Stimpy, they're on Paramount Plus. So go ahead. $5.99 a month. That's not a commercial. I'm just throwing it out there just in case you want to see it. But there's a scene that I remember with Ren was cutting a log, okay? And they couldn't cut the log, all right? Uh-huh. So Stimpy puts the log on top of his butt, right? And then Ren puts the saw on top of the log, on top of Stimpy's butt, and then he's going back and forth, the motion of thrusting back and forth, and they're having these expressions of excitement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching this at the age of 11. Now, I don't understand the context because I don't speak English, but I'm seeing this, And I thought it was funny, right? So then years later, I want to spend some quality time with my kids. And I said, listen, let's watch Ren and Stimpy. Because, again, they used to show up after school. Mm-hmm. And I watched this episode. And then I play my daughter that clip. Yeah, no, I had to take it off after 5 minutes or so. I don't remember. I was like, literally.
Oh, my
like,
God. Okay. You censored? You censored it?
I did. I was like, what the heck am I doing? That's probably where the paranoia came in.
Yeah.
So would you done that? Show Ren and Stimpy because of, a beautiful memory you had as a child. And the next thing you know, they're like, boning, literally boning.
Like, oh, my God. I'm like.
Give me that. Focus.
That was kind of my kid's message.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Go ahead. Take care of him. Because she's explaining.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just making sure.
All right.
I do have a child.
That I have to have this conversation with eventually in about 3 or 4 months from now because of the Grammys.
Yes. Traumatized child there.
All right. So how would you explain it?
I don't know. I'm not there yet. I'm not there. Like I said.
So what advice would you give our listeners who are in this position?
I don't know. If you want them to be more open sexually, then go ahead and let them watch the Grammys with your child. If you want to censor it, then I guess don't watch it. Don't even watch it on YouTube. But
how do you censor something like that now that's it's pretty much open to get it anywhere?
True.
You know, somebody did mention that on Facebook, because I was having this conversation with somebody, and they said, yeah, well, you know, nowadays they have tablets, they have phones, mm-hmm. they have, you know, the computers and whatnot. And yes, that's a good point. I mean, I didn't give my kid a phone until they were 10, 12, and that's because they said, my wife said, oh, you know, you have to give them a phone because, you know, they're going to be alone. And I said, will they be alone in the house? Yes. Do we have a landline? Yes. Then they don't need a phone. So I was really arguing of why not to get them a phone, mainly because I'm cheap. I didn't want to pay more.
I figure.
Yeah, but now every kid has a phone. Like
a phone, a tablet.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna research it. And their kids at Zoom school, they're going to tell them or they're going to send mm-hmm. the link. So we cannot block our kids from all of that. So, again, my idea will be just tackle the subject, put it out there, you know, show them the pictures of genitalia and their diseases, how you can get, I mean, I'm just, that's what I did. It worked.
So I'm going to traumatize myself while I'm giving him a lecture.
Yes. You got to take one for the team. You got to take one for the team.
No, but he knows. If like I don't really go down and talk about or like literally talk to him about anything like sexual at the moment, but I do tell him, hey, this is your body. You have a male genitalia. You know, mom has a different genitalia. You know, mom made you. You know, you came out of mom and mom made you in her stomach. And you know, and he's like, oh, you did? And then I'm like, yeah, so he knows. I broke down some little details, kept it a little PG.
So what will be the proper age to talk to them about this?
10.
10?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think by then it's too late.
Yeah, 10, 9, 8 years old maybe, 9 to 10, because their bodies are developing and maturing and they're going through puberty. And I guess just for them to.
Uh-huh, for them to.
Basically, like, know what their body is and how for them to feel comfortable with their body, I guess.
Yeah, I think that nowadays, because I remember when I was a kid, 13 was the right age when you start going into puberty. Mm-hmm. And even schools were sending the note of, we're going to have sex ed class. Do you want to have your kids to participate? And some parents were like, no, especially in Hispanic culture.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you can't stop it. So I think by the age of 10, I think it's a little too late. I think soon, but I've seen on social media little girls that are, you know, 4, 5 already are exposed to that world and, yeah, and they're twerking and yeah, they're wearing makeup and, you know, the nails and again, to each his own, not judging. All I'm saying is that are they too young? Could they be too young? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, today's society, depending on what you're looking at, really sometimes over-sexualizes or makes the little girls, little boys look more older than they should be.
Sorry about that again, guys. I'm going to take this off. There you go.
Uh-huh. So you got people taking photographs of little kids in what? You got pageants? Beauty pageants?
But the beauty pageants have been there forever, especially in that case in the 80s with the little girl who got murdered because she was the queen, no? She won the
contest. John Bernay?
Yeah.
Not really. More family orientated, and the murder happened within the family. But yeah, but what's going on? This child is parading around in makeup, big hair, nice, cute little clothes, dressed particularly for women, you know, flaunting it, and walking around from the ages of newborns to all the way teens. So you're kind of still sexualizing girls, and it's not, you know, it's not only for girls now, it's now boys included.
Yeah, yeah. I see memes all the time where it says, you're crying for your lost love at the age of 10. The only thing I was worried about is Goku going Super Saiyan. I was crying when Goku died and fighting Cell. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, why?
Oh, Goku, my God. Why? I don't even know what the heck I was going through when I was 10. I don't even remember.
Because you're a boomer.
I don't remember. I'm not a boomer. You're older than me.
You're a boomer. All right, guys. Well, let's play some more music, and we'll come back after this. And we're back. What's going on?
No, I was recording it live from my Instagram.
You were like, you should see her face. She was like, no, no,
no,
no, no. Anyways, so changing topics, okay? Great about music, great about the Grammys, everything all good and dandy. Now we, you know, put our little thoughts into it. You know, I just literally, you know, gave Nelly Baby here some visual traumas, not visual, imaginary traumas. Yeah, no, imaginary traumas. Yeah. About, you know, genitalia with gonorrhea and whatnot stuff. Yeah. And how to, you know, she's
never
really...
never having a child again.
She was really thinking about how she was going to talk to her kid about this whole thing. It was funny. She now was I'm really out of it.
Now I'm traumatized.
You're traumatized?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Never having sexual intercourse again.
Oh, wow. Do they have to know that? Do we have to know that?
All because Charlie did it.
For
thank you, Charlie. For everybody else's loss.
I didn't do anything, first of all. I just talked about the topic, and I did not do anything. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Not me.
Just in case, because you said it. Anyways, see, I can't edit this thing out, because then it's going to be a lot of work, and I really don't want to do it.
Yourself is lazy. I thought you were going to be doing all the work, and I was just the star of the show.
Really? Really? I mean, you should see her. She's really answering. Listen, we enjoy our fans. Don't get me wrong. But she's literally answering text as we're recording.
I have to answer my people.
Yeah.
Public.
Earlier she said, I have to check on my son. It wasn't her son. It was actually fans who are getting a hold of her. And she's doing lives. Which, by the way, again, you can go ahead on Instagram. Give your page.
You can find me on Instagram as Nelly's Babies World, or I think it's under, you can find me as NELLYM82.
Okay, so now you can go ahead and send her text, but please, don't send her text while we're recording.
Hey, we got to say hi to the people too. Maybe do a live. Maybe they might enjoy it.
I think we should do a live. I think we should do a live. That's in the plans. We actually did agree about doing a live on YouTube. Through Zoom, so that's in the progress. So expect it, because we're going to be doing this live in the near future. What do you mean, Jesus? He's not going to be here.
Buddha?
I mean, maybe.
I mean, well, it depends on what we're smoking, but...
Yeah, that's right, you know. Or, you know, how much weight we gain or something. I don't know. I do find the enlightenment within.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, see, this is a horrible joke to introduce our next topic.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We're trying to make it serious. And it is serious. It's, you know, right now this world is chaotic. And I just don't understand the thinking and what's going on between someone's actual morals?
I don't know if it's morals. First, Hold on. There you go. So this is going to be the topic, okay?
Humanity?
I don't know. But let's look at the video that brought us to this point, and we'll go from there. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
AX cameras were at the scene as another Asian was attacked in San Francisco. We asked city leaders what's being done to stop it. That victim fought back. Good evening. I'm Elizabeth Cook.
I'm Ken Bastide. Our Wilson Walker has the video that you'll see only on KPIX 5.
Just after 10 o'clock this morning, Market and 7th Streets coming upon the scene during his morning run, KPIX Sports Director Dennis O'Donnell.
There was a guy on a stretcher and a frustrated, angry woman with a stick in her hand.
Shouting in a Toissanese dialect, the 75-year-old woman says she was attacked unprovoked.
The woman said that she was hit and she attacked back. From what I could see, Wilson, she wanted more of the guy on the stretcher, and the police were holding her back.
Police now say there was a second victim this morning, an 83-year-old Asian man. A 39-year-old man is now being investigated for both attacks, and police say they are working to determine if bias was a factor.
We have to do our jobs. We have to investigate these cases with all resources brought to bear, and we need to make arrests, which we've done that.
Today, both the police chief and the mayor highlighted the arrests made in connection with previous attacks in the city, promising more targeted patrols.
We need to understand not only what was going on and why those attacks occurred, because in some cases they didn't include any robbery or theft.
As for one case that did include robbery, police have announced 3 arrests in connection with the violent attack caught on camera in a San Francisco laundromat. Police say the suspects, all arrested in Antioch, are also tied to 8 car burglaries in the city.
So, again, you know, you have a small group of individuals. All of those 3 that were arrested lived outside the city.
That is something the chief of police has stressed in several occasions, not just this.
All right. And so that's the topic for this segment. American Asians are getting attacked. Okay. And it's really sad, right? Because in 1940s, during World War II and the whole attack on Pearl Harbor, they had concentration camps but they had camps where they were holding Japanese Americans because they thought they were helping Japan through the war, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we found out that it was not the case, that they were people who went here for generations, and some were actually wrongfully accused. And you think, okay, that was 60 years ago, 7 years ago, but as you see, it's still happening. Why is it that people are so focused on affecting and damaging other cultures? What do you think?
What started this all? What started it? Basically, you have our prior president who literally said the China virus. Okay. Then you got ignorant people that come, okay, well, you're the reason why this virus is here. Okay. That's their point of thinking. And then what did the president say? The China virus. We need to eliminate this China virus and just away from with China people. This is their fault.
Yeah. I mean, Trump had to do a lot with this. That division, and it's crazy because the division has always existed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know for a fact that there has always been a division, okay? Hispanics versus African Americans, or Mexicans versus Puerto Ricans, or whatever, right?
Whites versus everybody.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm not going to say that, but there's people that think that way.
That is true. Yes, there are people who think like that. But I feel like in this particular cases nowadays, I feel that it's not because of so much of the racism, mm-hmm. Which we know it's a factor. I'm not saying it's not. But I think it's because of the mentality that people have nowadays. There was a good article, I'm sorry, a good book that I read where it states that nowadays everybody feels like their priorities and their rights are supposed to be respected and more mm-hmm. respected because it's them. And I think that's a good point. I mean, like I said last week, if we don't know how to respect the rights of other people, that we can get into the situations because a lot of us, and I can include myself in that sense, at a moment in my life, I did believe that because I was a certain race, I had the right to be respected. Mm-hmm. And again, as a human being, yes. But just because I'm Mexican does not mean that I'm going to have to go and put somebody else down just because I believe they were not Mexican, mm-hmm. like I did mention that last week. But do you think that's the case? That because in our the way we grew up, especially the millennials, that, and I'm saying the millennials because this is where we're noticing the change. Before, in our generation, you either had two choices. Either you shut up, mm-hmm. or if you talk back, you get a smack on the mouth.
Yeah.
So we didn't have that privilege that millennials had to express themselves and have this open mentality about me, 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 and only me. And again, this is not being putting you down. It's just, it is what it is. That was the way it was back when I was growing up. So now I see that those people, these people, the ones who act that way, they portraying that they are more important than everybody else. So what do you think?
I don't know. It's just basically what's going on with the humanity today. Like, it's okay to attack a race just because somebody outlandishly said, let's get rid of them. Let's show them that because of them, there's now coronavirus. No. Like, this is not their doing, okay? This is not their doing. That doesn't give you the right to just up front and go and attack an innocent person, elderly person that sometimes maybe they can't defend themselves.
Yeah, because they're 68% of this attacks, which, by the way, Lucy Liu. Yeah, Lucy Liu's the actress, right? Yeah, she said in a CNN interview that their culture does not report these attacks most of the time.
No, because they're scared. They're scared. Why are they scared? Just like us, sometimes they're not here legally and they can't voice their opinion because, again, like us, Mexicans who are actually Mexicans who are here sometimes legally are scared to report a robbery, a beating. Why? Because what's going to happen? They're going to get the consequences. They're going to be taken away because, again, they have no papers. They're here illegal. So who's going to be in trouble? They are, not the aggressor.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And also, again, not to be stereotypical, but it is known for them to be a very, very private culture.
Yes.
Even Bruce Lee mentioned one at a time that when he wanted to teach Kung Fu, the majority of Chinese Americans and even Chinese were like, no, you cannot teach to Americans because that's something that it's only for us. So even then, there's a proof that they were very, I don't want to say secluded. That's not the word I'm looking for. But they were very, not secretive, but again, they kept among themselves. Very cultural, yes. Now, I'm reading this book nowadays that's actually a birthday gift, all right? And it's by Jordan B. Peterson. Now, Jordan B. Peterson, it's a psychologist that's, you know, the thing nowadays. And it's very controversial, but his book is 12 Rules for Life. And in this one, and I'm going to read it to you, mm-hmm. and you tell me what you think, okay? Millennials are living through a unique historical situation. Okay, oh, quote, millennials are living through a unique historical situation. They are the first generation to have been thoroughly taught two seemingly contradictory ideas about morality and simultaneously. This contradiction has left them at times disoriented and uncertain, without guidance, and more tragically, deprived of riches they don't even know exist. The first idea or teaching is that morality is relative. Relative means that there is no absolute right or wrong in anything. Instead, morality and the rules associated with it are just a matter of personal opinions or happenstance, relative or related to a particular framework such as ethnicity, one's upbringing, or the culture or historical moment one is born into. So what do you think? What I get from this is this generation, okay, and we're talking about millennials now, the generation that we see are attacking this gentleman, this Asian American culture or society in the videos and the ones that are committing it, they're not old. They're about that range. They're a millennial range.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I get from this is that, yeah, it could be our upbringing, it could be our ideology, it could be all the other factors, but do you actually believe that because of those two teachings, and I just read one of them, but that teaching itself, that it's me, me, and only me, you think it hit it right on the nail?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Why?
Because, I don't know, in the culture, depending on the culture that you're raised in, it's really hard to explain yourself, describe yourself, because like you said, we were told to shush and mind your business and just sit there or take it, you know, depending on the culture that you're raised in. Okay, but what is this? What's going on now? They don't express themselves with words now. It's basically fists and attacks.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I mean, the point that he's trying to make, and again here, it's that it's relevant, right? It's relative to what they're thinking or they're expressed, because if they think that, you know, if let's say Chinese did bring the coronavirus and they have the right to do this, is because they actually do believe that. So yeah. Psychologically speaking, they think they're right, and to everybody else's eyes, obviously it's not. And again, we're not psychologists. We're not saying that we're right. We're just giving an opinion on what's going on.
Our point of view and our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't feel like they have to be punished for something that could happen. And now I was watching another documentary, and it was talking about the next pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and it said that it could start from anywhere because yes. there's thousands of viruses out there, and you just need one person to cross over to the next, you know, the next virus to cross over to another human. And then we can be in the same situation. And there's mm-hmm. thousands of ways we can actually go through that again. But why blame one particular, you know, ethnicity just for that? And politically and the way we were brought up that, yeah, I'm right and I'm special and it's only me and nothing but me, it just makes it harder because now this I feel that this whole generation, it's now thinking that they're right. And for you to change someone that believes they're right, it's very hard.
Yeah. And for them to think that this form of action is okay, that's another form of special. I don't know. Just the way I heard this woman cry out, you could hear her pain. And I don't understand why that would be right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. And I mean, I just don't see how somebody can come in and Jesus. Okay, so there you go, the hat trick, okay? The first segment, my phone rang. The second one, the phone rang. And why not? Let's just finish it, because I'm a very popular guy apparently today. Nobody calls me,
you want to say
today.
I'm the popular one.
It's my bill collectors. They know I'm doing this, and they're like, oh, probably he has money. Now they're coming to collect. But yeah, and one of the things that the book says here too, and I believe, this is my personal belief, and I do truly believe, that we're missing this in this society, okay? It says, and I quote, "The inappropriate thing an adult can do is to give a young person advice about how to live." I'm gonna read that one more time, right? "The most inappropriate thing an adult can do is to give a young person advice about how to live." That's, again, by Jordan B. Peterson. That, to me, it's extremely, extremely crucial to understand, because I do believe that's the problem out of all of this, right? I know that with technology, Google, and everything else that's going on around right now, if I come and tell something to, let's say, a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say your son, hey, listen, man, you like anime? Check this out. I think it's the best anime ever, right? He goes to Google. Googles the anime, sees the rating, 4 out of 10. Why not? 4 out of 10. Yeah, no, I don't think I like it. And he doesn't even give it the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't go and watch it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, fine, you're missing it, right? Just the fact that he's not receiving my criticism, or take it just as a, I don't know, benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Goes and sees it and be like, okay, actually, it was pretty good, right? Let's just say that that's a very simple example. right, just of how a kid can just ignore you and taking your word for it, right? But let's go into an actual matter where it's crucial for us to actually teach our youth, right?
Yes.
Let's say, for example, I come in and say, listen, you know, a kid A, if you do this, let's say, for example, if you badmouth or bad talk your mother, then it looks bad, right?
Okay.
The first thing he's going to say is, who the heck are you to teach me?
Yeah.
Right? So that's the very common response. Whatever.
You're not my mom.
You're not my mom.
You're not my dad.
Yeah, right? So, we don't, in our culture, we didn't do it because we wanted to be a-holes. We did it because we understood in Mexico that as a society, we had to take care of each other, right? That's how I grew up. When I was a kid, I remember that the neighbor, the teacher, my parents, and everybody else and their mama could come and hit me if I was misbehaving. And it was normal. It was like, hey, listen, what did you do? I did this. Well, guess what? Bam, there goes the second one because you shouldn't be doing that. And he's right that you got smacked by the first person, right? And in our moment, we saw that as a bad thing because we're like, okay, he's not my dad. Yeah. He's not allowed to touch me, but it's for the greater good, right? That's what I saw when I was growing up. But nowadays, you can't do, not that you hit kids, but you can't even reprimand kids if it's not your kid because the first one's going to jump on your back. It's the parents.
The parent.
Right? So what are we teaching the kids at this point? Yeah, I'm protected. It's me. I'm special. And they grow up thinking that way. And we can't even give an advice on how to live their lives because they're going to come into Google. They're going to try to contradict you and show you how wrong you are.
Yes.
As an adult, right? So now your pride is hurt. So why would you do it? So what do you think about that? I mean, I know I'm just rambling at this point, but I think that's a very crucial point to understand.
Yeah. Well, like you, I was told around when I was younger to respect my elders. And if they said something, I had to follow it or sit down and be quiet. You know, adults are speaking.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my form of growing up. All right. So what with me, of course, I'm going to tell my child. If a parent or a grown-up tells you something, then you have to be respectful. I said, if somebody talks to you out of your name, then you will voice it to me, okay? Yes, you want to say, excuse me, that please don't say that or don't call me that, but you don't want to go offhand and start swinging, okay? Unless, you know, it's provoked, you're going to have to defend yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a whole different line, right? I mean, when it's self-defense and when it's not, like in this video, for example, the old lady grabbed the piece of stick and they started whacking the guy who attacked her to begin with.
Yes.
And then he's taken in the stretcher to the hospital.
That's the thing that drives me crazy. Like, you're going to put this man, the aggressor, in a stretcher because he's hurt, but yet the woman is literally physically bruised and bleeding.
Yeah, no, on the video you can see the lady's face. It was swollen. Her eye was shut because of the impact. And she's crying because obviously she's just been attacked. And yet he's the one on the stretcher and taken to the hospital. Now, would it be biased just because the cops came in and took him? I don't think so. I think that if she swinged the right way and whacked him right in the head, she could have given him a concussion and probably did hurt him. Was it justified? Yes. Was it self-defense? Definitely, right? But in that sense, if he's taken to the hospital, because I want to believe that the cops and the paramedics noticed that he was more hurt, and that's why he needed to be taken to the hospital, right? Does it justify the action that he punched the poor lady? No.
No.
I think he should be arrested. I don't know what happened after that. I want to believe that he got arrested.
I hope he got arrested.
And
no, I think they did say that he was under suspicion for another charge as well.
There you go. So, again, going back to what he's saying, do I want to teach him? Does the cop want to come in and say, listen, no, you're right, and explain the whole procedure to them? Would have helped. I'm not saying that it wouldn't. But what would it help? Like, in what sense would he coming in and saying, listen, yeah, we're going to press charges and whatnot and blah, blah, versus the guy going and saying, listen, I don't think I did anything wrong, so why am I getting arrested? Because that's one of the – Bernie Mac did a joke that he said when he went to Chicago, he went to the prison county, went to do a show, and he said that 90% of African Americans who are in there, and this is Bernie Mac, not me, said that that everybody went to jail for nothing because they're like, oh, what'd you do? Nothing.
Everybody's innocent.
Yeah, like nothing. And again, this is because it's Bernie Mac. He's saying this, not you know, not because of being stereotypical, but everybody who goes to jail says nothing. But probably he said the same thing. I don't know. The only thing I know is that it's a race. It's the way we were brought up. I feel that the kids in my generation, some were very overprotected, and now we're seeing the consequences.
I could say I was one of them, but I'm not going to go out and outlash and lash out on people just because I think, hey, they had me sheltered.
I don't know, man. There's some moments when you get a little extreme, you know, a little.
You ask for it.
I don't ask for anything.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
If people had to deal with you for 8 hours, they would understand why I'm attacking you.
Okay, fine. That's a good point. It is a good point. I mean, what else can I say? So, one of my friends said, we can't fix it. And I believe that in a certain way, he's right. But I believe in a certain way, he's not. I think there's something we can do. I think we can start putting more discipline and more educating ourselves. It's a big factor. And I'm not saying that people are not educated, but like, for example, the book Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, he says that education, it's what you bring from within, right? Yeah. It's not the, oh, I got a bachelor's, I got an associate's. Oh, no, I can, you know, I have a particular knowledge of this trade or business or whatnot. But literally what you're bringing in from what you have learned and you're bringing in to yourself and bringing out to other people. That's what education is. That's what he said.
Yeah.
I believe that's true.
It's true. Just like they say that, you know, this child, a child could come out in this world and what are they taught? They're sponges. They learn sponges. And they learn from what you're taught from home. Okay. So where does this hate come from? That hate was taught. You are not born with hate in your soul.
I disagree that it's taught from home. I believe it's TV, it's the radio, it's internet, it's everywhere, because at this point,
again,
it's just...
but there's going to be a root.
No, there's always a root. I'm not saying there's no root. I'm just saying that it's a big factor of everything that comes in together, and it could be from anywhere. It's like us saying back in the 90s, oh, don't listen to Marilyn Manson because you're going to become a satanic devil worshiper. And, okay, maybe some did. I didn't. I'm sorry. We got to go kill a goat later on and, you know, sacrifice him to Beelzebub or something. Joking. Okay, joking. All right. But it could be said the same thing. I think it's a factor of a lot of things. I think that once we did not allow our parents or parents to actually do discipline their kids, it's when everything started going down the toilet. I'm a very firm believer in that. I don't think that you should break somebody's arm or, you know, abuse them to the point where their life is in danger. But, I mean, you know, there has to be rules and guidelines and whatnot. I think there's not a lot of them.
What's right and what's wrong.
That's right.
Because, again... racism has been here for centuries.
Yep.
Okay. And now it's being enlightened that it's okay. Yes, I'm not saying it's never been there or it went away, because, again, it's always been there. And it sadly, sometimes it will maybe be there forever. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's going to go away or it went away. But, you know, due to circumstances of our prior president, it was highlighted a lot more, and it was okay to say, I don't like you.
I can 100% agree with that, because before Trump was president, we knew for a fact that there was racism, and you could, and nobody paid attention because it wasn't public. Okay, so we knew that, oh, you know, you want to cut my grass? You know, it's like, okay, little jokes like that, you're like, okay, I'll let it slide. But just to openly say, yeah, Mexicans are rapist and blah, blah, then you're like, okay, now it's going to be 4 years of a lot of that.
Yeah.
And we did. We saw it, and it just blew up. And now minorities are seeing it.
Yes.
And that's bad. That's really bad.
That's part of the, you know, Black Lives Matter, hashtag Black Lives Matter. You got Latinos, you know, getting hurt and injured just because it's okay. And now what? what's the new hashtag? Yes, minorities need to stick together, because right now the hashtag is Stop Asian Hate. Okay. That's the new hashtag. But, you know, we got to understand and stick together. You know, yes, we're different cultures, but we got to stick together because, again, what's the key word here? We're minorities.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we bleed the same. You know, we go through trials and tribulations the same.
Okay? I think we're going to start quoting the Merchant of Monticello. If I get pregnant, don't I bleed?
Yeah. I
die? I'm just saying. It was a great play, too.
Again, we're minorities together. We got to stick together, you know. Brown, black, you know, our Asian American brothers and sisters. Like, come on, guys. Like, they're hating on us for no apparent reason. Why?
Yeah. No, and one of the things that I actually, when I moved to the United States, I noticed a lot of the rivalries between, again, Puerto Ricans and Mexicans or African Americans and Hispanics. And I was thinking, why is that? Because in Mexico, what I learned and what I remember is that there was no race, right? And personally, I have a little bit of an issue with the whole Afro-Mexican. I get the concept of, yeah, you wanna be aware of your heritage of African, because we do have some African heritage in Mexico. So is Irish, so is German, so is French, Austrian, mm-hmm. All of it,
Indian.
Right? Indian, all of it. It's all a pot right there, right? But in Mexico, it was only two things. Either you were rich and had money, or you were mm-hmm. poor and you were starving. So if you didn't have any money, okay, didn't care if you were black or African or Afro-Mexican, or if you were Indian, or if you were
Arabian
or mestizo, didn't care. You were poor and that was it, all right? If you were rich, again, it didn't matter. You were just rich. And to us, it was a brotherhood, okay? Mm-hmm. I know that now the term negro, it's considered a racial slur. Mm-hmm. But in my times, when we had somebody who was dark-skinned, we used to call him negro as a sign of of love, because yeah. we wanted to include him in the group. And they were okay with it. All right? So I remember that was the unity we had. It didn't matter what race you were from or what heritage mm-hmm. you had. They included you. And that was great.
Yeah.
But here, there were so many divisions, right?
Divisions and
mining. Then I learned that in 1930s, like I said before, they kicked all of them out. And then, we know in history, African Americans were chased and hanged and slaved, and it was just a mess. So I'm thinking, if we come from the same group, mm-hmm. and we're both being abused, why are we fighting among each other?
Exactly.
Right. Again, I think I just went in a little bit more. I should have just done the podcast. But let us know what you think, okay? And just to ease the tension down, we're gonna play some more music, and then we're gonna close the show.
Yeah, guys.
You good with it?
Yeah.
All right.
Again, hashtag please, guys. Let's stick together and stop Asian hate, please.
All right, guys. We'll be back. It has been an interesting episode today. We wanted to keep it fun, but it was just too much. The things that are going on in the world, it's just okay.
When is it gonna be normal, guys? I miss the good old days.
Yeah, we used to, anyways, thank you for joining us tonight or today on a Friday.
Sorry, guys, I've been a little off today. Like I was telling Charlie, I don't know, I had an allergic reaction and it's been sticking for 2 days. And I'm like, I go through a spiral of up and down. And then I get really itchy. And then, right now, my left ear is, on fire. And I'm, trying to scratch it. And I'm like, I'm irritated right now.
Yeah, she's, as you can see, she's bipolar. She goes through up and down. And
not going to talk about my mental issues right now.
Hey, listen, everybody who knows me knows that I have a ton of mental issues, okay?
I'm not going to air PTSD, it out. Not right now. It's OCD. Like you said, it's only the third show.
You're going to get to know us more. Anyways, thank you guys for joining us and listening to this episode. Again, guys, we want to hear from you. You are what matters to us, okay? We want to hear your topics. We want to hear your playlist. And actually, Nelly Baby here had a great idea, because we actually had a list of songs that we could play today. And the ones you heard earlier, before we finish the segment.
Our number one fans' request.
Yes, it was. And thank you. And we're going to actually play one more song that he requested. And we're going to close with that. But we want to actually hear from everybody else, right? Give us your list of music. Give us your topics. We would like to talk about them, too. We'll promise we're not going to butcher them. Correction, I promise I'm not going to butcher it.
And I'll try to stay on top of it. I promise. Right now I'm like tripping.
Yeah, she's not going to pass out in the middle of the show. Because literally, I don't know if I just stop this whole thing. There were moments where I was like, I think I should stop it and take her to the emergency room because I think she's getting droopy. I don't know if it's because of the drugs or because she's getting a stroke. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out in a minute.
With my line of history, nobody has to know. Okay.
No, nobody has to know that, that you do coke. Anyways.
What? Don't be saying that. And I'm going to get drunk to sit at work. Jesus.
No, she doesn't do coke. She doesn't do coke.
Coca-Cola, that is.
Coca-Cola, yeah. The 1930s version.
Mexico.
The Mexico version. Yeah. So please, to whoever is hiring us, do not do a drug test because we're not doing drugs. We're not doing drugs.
My name is not Nelly, baby.
Nelly, baby. So, yeah, guys, send us your topics. Send us your music. Also, another suggestion that she did is that I should change my name from my Facebook to Charlie, which I think it's a great idea because it's a pain in the butt spelling this whole thing.
Yes, please
every
do.
Single week. So I'm just gonna change it.
So his homework for today is to go on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and change his name from his past alias.
Ta-ta.
His past ta-ta. Alias.
Hello.
Hello. To his past alias to now Charlie's Bunker.
Charlie's Bunker. Yes. So I gotta do that. But the Spanish one though.
El Bunker del Charlie.
The Charlie. That it does make sense. All right, guys. So thank you very much. And we'll do this again next week.
All right, guys. So like Charlie said, remember, if you want specific playlists, if you want your playlist to be played, make sure that you send it to us on Charlie's Bunker or on mine on Instagram, Nelly Baby, or send it to my Twitter and give us your couple of songs that you want to be played by the end of the show and we'll put it on there. So again, guys, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just look us up and don't forget to check Spotify and Anchor.
Right on. Okay, guys. Until next week. And we're going to leave you with this.
Bye.
Thanks to Eli. Deuces. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
1, 2, 3.
Wow.
2, 3.
Wow.